Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, creative world changer, this is Melissa Dinwiddie here with episode 2 of Live Creative Now. Thank you so much for joining me. This episode is sponsored by Creative Sandbox 101, the mini course that has kicked over 1,000 people into creative action in just 1 week. If you struggle with fear and self-doubt, perfectionist paralysis, or just not enough time to do the creative things you want to do, you will love Creative Sandbox 101. In just a few minutes a day, you're going to get your toe back in the creative stream and set your creative taps to on. But don't take my word for it. I've gotten a slew of testimonials from past participants, which you can find at the Creative Sandbox 101 webpage, and I've created a special page just for Live Creative Now listeners, where you can register for the next session of Creative Sandbox 101 for a very special price. The next session runs July 14th through 20th, and you can find out all the information you need at lcn.creativesandbox101.com. That's LCN as in Live Creative Now, so lcn.creativesandbox101.com. And now on with today's episode. This is a special live episode. Once a month, I host a live free call just for Live Creative Now listeners, where you can be part of my live audience and ask me anything you want about living a creative life, productivity, creative blocks, creative business, anything goes. I take the best questions from these live sessions and edit them down into podcast episodes. And today is the first Ask Me Anything live episode. In this session, I answered questions about time management and how to figure out what to focus on when you've got a zillion passions and interests like I do. And I share my favorite power tools for helping to actually accomplish your goals. And one of my favorite concepts, MVP. You're gonna have to listen to find out what that is. And I also share a behind-the-scenes view of what my morning routine looks like. The first question comes from Hermione.
The question is time management.
Yes.
I get a lot of your info, and it's like, and when does this woman have time to do any artwork? Because she's writing this, that, and the other thing and sending all this out and blah, blah, blah. So how do you manage your time?
Yes, time management is such a great, wonderful issue, and it's a big one. It's a big topic for all of us, right? Yeah, and from the outside, it probably looks like I get a ton done. From the inside, I always feel like I never get as much done as I want. So there's a few things going on. The first thing is, how do I get my art done? I have to make time. I have to be conscious about making time for it. And for me, the big change in that came in 2011 when I was interviewing somebody for a product that I had called the Thriving Artist Project, a woman named Michelle Teberge. And she's an artist, and she works with artists who want to have gallery art careers.
Right.
And they struggle with getting to their art just as much as people who do art just for fun, right? Amazingly enough. And so she tells her mentees, if you can't put 15 minutes a day into your art, you are making an excuse. And she was telling me this in the context of an interview, right? I mean, I'm just talking to her as an interviewer. I'm just asking her questions as an interviewer and getting her to introduce herself. And she says that she tells this to her mentees. Well, that was like a spear right into my gut, because I hadn't made time for my art for over a decade at that point. Yeah. Really, the only art that I made for myself was once a year at the retreat that I go to with my calligraphy guild, the Friends of Calligraphy.
Right.
The rest of the year, I would come home from that retreat every year thinking, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to make a weekend a month
I make art all weekend long, staycation. I'm going to do, okay, maybe a weekend a quarter, maybe a weekend a month is too much, but I'm going to do a weekend a quarter and I'll do one day a month. I'll set aside a Saturday, or maybe I'll just set aside a Friday afternoon or something. It never worked. And part of the reason that it never worked, because I've had this belief that I had to have great big chunks of time. Now, great big chunks of time are great. We love great big chunks of time where we can just dive in and fully immerse ourselves. We all want to do that all the time. But the reality is, like, that doesn't work most of the time because we have lives and lots of other things that need to get done in our world, right? So I spent years with this, oh, I need great big chunks of time, so it never happened. That was my excuse. Then I was on this interview with Michelle Taberge, and I thought, she's right, I'm making an excuse. I don't need big chunks of time, or maybe I don't need. I wasn't sure at that time. I'm going to try an experiment. I can't imagine that 15 minutes a day is really going to give me much, but hey, it's better than nothing. And she's right, I'm making an excuse. So I made a commitment to myself. That was February 1st, 2001. And I said, all right, February is a short month. I'm going to make a commitment to 15 minutes a day for the month of February, playing in the creative sandbox, making my art. I get to go over 15 minutes if I want. But if I do only 15 minutes, I get to feel successful. I get to check it off that, yes, I did what I said I was going to do today. And what I discovered was that 15 minutes is actually enough, surprisingly enough, to get into a state of flow. Now, I don't guarantee that's the same for everybody, but it is for me. 15 minutes is longer than you think.
Yeah.
Particularly for the painting that I was doing at the time. I was able to feel like I did something. And there were all sorts of other benefits to that as well. One was that when I was putting in just a little bit every day, I was thinking about my art all the time.
Right.
Was 15 minutes enough to feel fully sated? No, I wanted to spend 3 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day painting, but that wasn't reality. And with 15 minutes a day, I got a little bit, and because I was doing it every day, it was like my toe was always in the creative stream. I was just swirling in creativity and ideas, and in my creative life and in my art, the other 23 hours and 45 minutes of the day because of those little 15 minutes. So that was a huge thing to discover. I felt much more creatively in sync than I would have been if I had spent, say, 2 hours once a week, which is actually more than 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, right?
Right.
And the other thing is, for most of us, the big hurdle is getting started. That's the hardest part.
Right.
And once you start, it's usually a lot easier to keep going. So if I had a timer on, I would often not want to stop. And if I didn't have a hard stop at the end, if I didn't have an appointment that I had to get to or some other deadline that I really needed to pull myself away for and focus on, then I would just keep going. So often that 15 minutes a day turned into 45 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever. And sometimes it was only 15 and it was all fine because I was doing it every day. That's my creative sandbox rule. I'm looking over at the poster I have on the side of my bookshelf. My creative sandbox rule number 4, think tiny and daily. So that's my suggestion around getting to your art. You have to make time for it. And the other suggestion that I have that has worked wonders for me is my mantra, one of my many mantras, the thing I do first is the thing that gets done. The thing I do first is the thing that gets done. So whatever I do first in my day, that's the thing that I'm going to actually get done. And I'm going to get to the end of my day saying, I did that thing. I accomplished that thing. If that thing that I do first is open up my email and dive into my email, then I'm going to spend the next 2 hours or 3 hours responding to emails and getting sucked into Facebook and whatever else. And I'll get to the end of my day and say, okay, I got my email done. But I may never get to my art. You have to commit to it. And one great way to help ensure that you get to it is to put it as early in your day as you can. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be the first thing you do after you wake up in the morning before you brush your teeth, but early in the day. So getting to your art early, right after you eat breakfast, right after whatever. And that is a matter of setting that intention and letting yourself know this is important.
Right.
This is just as important as all those other things that you're doing for other people. If you do not do the thing that feeds you, you do not have energy, you do not have patience, you do not have what you need to have in order to do the things you do for other people, right?
That's right.
Doing your art is how you change the world. So you've got to get to it, even if it's just 15 minutes a day. And 15 is an arbitrary number. I now say, one of my clients and students and friends, Laureen Marchand, says any amount counts. And I call that the law of Laureen. And that is now it for a lot of the things that I want to incorporate into my day. Any amount counts is now my sort of rule rather than like a 15-minute minimum or something, because it's that getting started and it's that reminding myself, yes, I get to do this, reminding myself, yes, this is important. Even if I put 1 minute, even if I play my ukulele for 1 minute, I've played my ukulele today. Does that help, Harmony?
That does. You know, I teach calligraphy and have taught for a long time, and I tell my students, 10 minutes a day. I'm not asking for more than that, just 10 minutes a day. Well, I should take my own damn advice. It's like, all right, and it's true. That's true. Now, there are some days, on Fridays, I have my granddaughter, so that's like, no. But there are other days of the week that I can do that, you know, 15 minutes a day, and I'm a morning person. I mean, I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I can get to the gym. And when I come home, what I usually do is I read the paper. I've read the paper since I was 14. So it's a long time habit. So maybe what I do is read one section and then I go down and do my
You know what, Harmony, that brings up another really, really great topic, which is the concept of anchor habits.
Yeah.
So if you go to the gym and you read the paper every day, those are very powerful habits in your life. You do them automatically, right? Especially the reading the paper. You've done that since you were 14 or whatever. That's a strong, powerful habit. So the brilliant thing about when you have a habit like that that's so ingrained you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to say, Harmony, go read the paper. You just do it. It fires automatically.
Right.
So what you can do is you can chain a new habit onto that anchor habit. So you read the paper every day. So I this is how I've built up my entire morning ritual, which is I wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, I drink 2 full glasses of water because I never get enough water, and I do some intense stretching that requires a lot of hydration.
Yeah.
Then I meditate for ideally 10 to 15 minutes. Today I woke up really late. It was 7:37, which is very late for me now. So I didn't have time for a 10-minute or 15-minute meditation, so I meditated for 5 minutes. So I could at least say, yes, I meditated today. Immediately after I meditate, then I do a couple of really intense stretches that take about 3 to 4 minutes. And I actually listen to some professional development. I'm doing a Udemy course right now that's on my phone, so I can listen to little videos while I'm doing my stretching. And then I get back in bed with my journal, and I journal. I brain dump. I do a brain dump, kind of like Morning Pages from Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way. And then from there, I come into the studio and I vacuum the studio because there's cat litter everywhere. I scoop the litter box. I go downstairs. I make myself tea. I make myself breakfast. I feed the cat. If there's time, I varnish, put a layer of varnish on my paintings. That's all before 9 a.m. Then I get on my computer and I start writing, or I get at my drafting table and I start painting, whatever I've set up as my, you know, the next thing I want to do in that day. So, and the way that I've built up that set of rituals in the morning is by starting with one anchor habit. And for me, that anchor habit, this one that I started with, is meditation. So I've tied everything else onto that. So for you, tie, 15 minutes making your art to your reading is a brilliant, brilliant idea. And you can either, decide to read one section and then go paint and then come back to the paper, or, play around with it. That's the other thing, is you have to experiment to figure out what works for you. And probably you try the first time may not work so well. So tweak it and adjust it. And this is where my golden formula comes into play, which is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. So you use that self-awareness piece to really pay attention and notice, is this working?
Right.
Is this serving me? What's not working so well about it? What do I need to adjust? And instead of beating yourself up and saying, oh, you blew it again, we never beat ourselves up. Love yourself up. See how you can kindly and gently and lovingly caress yourself into a habit that's going to, or a tactic or a change to your schedule or whatever that's going to work better for you.
Good thought. Good thought. Thank you so
great
much.
Great question, Harmony. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So let's see here. Jacqueline says there's a book about exactly what you're saying, Melissa. It's The Slight Edge, Turning Simple Disciplines into Massive Success
by Jeff Olson and John David Mann. And
Cynthia just asked about my daily routine for making time for my art. So, it's interesting, Cynthia, because I am a big believer in this. The thing I do first is the thing that gets done. The thing I do first is the thing that gets done. I don't always do my painting first thing, but that is a much later development for me. And that's because I've gotten so used to being able, the style of painting that I do, and this may not work for you, is I can do it in little teeny tiny little dollops throughout the day. And it feeds me so much. And I know that I'm going to get to my painting. So I don't always do it first thing. I do the thing that I most want to be able to get to the end of my day and say, I did that. Yes, that is the thing that I endeavor to do first. And I also have to say, does it always work out that way? No, it doesn't. Oh my God, I'm totally human. So I have what I call my ideal day template, or my ideal daily template. I actually have one of these for my week. I have plotted out, this is a great tip. This is something I just figured out recently. I did a brainstorm, a mind map, I just brainstormed every single thing that I need to do or want to do on a daily basis. I want to do, add a layer of varnish to my paintings. I want to make sure I paint. I want to make sure to do a little bit of music. I have a list here. I send out art, daily paintings in my ArtSpark newsletter, and I write a little blurb for each one. So ideally, I write a new blurb every day, even though I have them done well in advance. I want to be in the habit of writing a new one every day if I don't batch them out. I want to do some kind of professional development every day. So those are some of my daily things. And then there are weekly things that I want to do. I want to make sure that my finances are caught up. I have to do laundry. I don't have the list right in front of me, but I wrote all those things down in my journal. And then I created a spreadsheet color coded that has 7 columns, one for each day of the week, and times broken down by half hour. You could break them down by 15 minutes if you want. And then I plotted out the things that I want to make sure happen every day and every week. I gave them a home on this visual schedule. Do I follow that exactly? No, but it is my template. And ideally, that's how my week is going to go. I leave myself lots of flexibility. So I have blocks of time during which, like before 9 a.m., that's my time ideally to varnish and feed the cat and write in my journal and do a little professional development and meditate. Those are all the things that go in the early chunk before 9 a.m. Do I do them always in the same order? Not necessarily. It depends on what's happening in my day. Then there's a chunk from, say, 9 to 12. Ideally, I would be writing during that time, writing and painting. Do I have to do them at the same, like at 9:15, do I start writing every single day? Not necessarily. I get to change that on the fly for however is working for me right in this present time moment, because things change in our lives, right? So that's how I work on my daily and weekly routine. And what I'm discovering as somebody who has always been allergic to schedules is that the more I create rituals in my day and in my life, the more productive I am, the happier I am. And here's the amazing part, the freer I feel. I do not feel constrained by these rituals. They actually make me feel liberated. It is a lot like if you go onto a hill, a windy hill, to fly a kite, and you just let go of the kite because you say, fly and be free. I don't want to restrain you in any way. The kite flitters around and eventually it falls to the ground. But if you hold the end of that string of that kite, then it flies so powerfully and you can make it swoop and dive and do all kinds of amazing things. It has so much more freedom to do all kinds of things because you are holding the string. That's what my daily rituals are for me. They are me holding the end of my kite string. So if you also feel allergic to schedules, I encourage you to give it a try and just a little piece in your life at first. Shannon says, as you know, I've been a little sidetracked, so trying to get back into this. As I have a lot of passions, how do I zero in on one thing? How do I put my ideas into action and make a business from it? Ooh, that's a big question. Okay, so let's just look at the zeroing in on one thing. This is something else that a lot of us are highly, highly allergic to. I don't want to pick one thing because then that means all the other things I'm going to have to say no to. And I don't want to say no to them because they're passions of my heart. I don't want to do that. So what do we do when we're passion pluralites, when we have lots of things that we love? What I figured out in my 30s, it took me into my 30s to figure this out, is I do get to do everything, just not all at the same time. Darn it. I tried for so long to do everything at the same time. And what happened was I just burned myself out. I never did anything to the degree that I wanted to. And it left me pretty miserable. So I thought in this moment of epiphany, when I realized I do get to do everything, just not at the same, all at the same time, I thought, okay, I'm going to pick one. And I realized instantly that's not going to work. I've tried to do that my whole life and that is never going to work for me. So I thought, okay, I'll pick two. And then I sort of thought, well, but I can't really pick two because there's this third thing I really, really want to do. I'll just pick three. And ultimately, to cut a long story short, what I finished up was this notion of four things, really four things. And I happened to be in my kitchen and I looked at my stovetop and I thought, you know, we always talk about putting something on the back burner. This stovetop idea, this is going to work for me. I'm going to experiment with picking four things that are my areas of adoration, the things that I am, that are like front, they're on my stove. I have all kinds of other things in the fridge, in cupboards, ingredients elsewhere, but I'm going to limit myself to four things that I'm really focusing on that are like front of mind. And my stove has a front right, has one burner, the front right burner, that's called the high speed burner. And guess what? That's where I do 90% of my cooking in real life. Like that's where I cook most things. I can have four pots on the stove at any given time, and I can have three of them simmering and I stir them periodically, do whatever needs to be done, add a little salt or pepper or whatever. But the one on the front right burner, that's the one where I'm actively cooking, right? I love this metaphor because this allows me to rotate my pots anytime I want. I rotate my pots at will. So I have one thing that is the I mean, realistically, I can really only do one important, like, creative thing at a time. I can walk while I'm writing. I have a treadmill, so I can do that. But, like, things that I'm passionate about, that I really want to invest my thinking and my energy into, can really only do one of those in any given span of time, like any particular second or minute. I can only do one thing. I can do another thing the next minute, but I can only focus on one thing in any given span of time. That's the thing on my front right burner. So that's the one thing for you, Shannon, that you're going to pick right now. What has helped me so much with that is realizing that all the other things that I'm not picking, I'm not saying no to them. I'm saying not right now. I will get to you when the time is right, if the time is right. You are still in my heart. I am not abandoning you. I am just telling you not right now and focusing on this other thing. How to decide which one of those things. If you were live on the call, I might ask you some questions. If you want to be a speaker, Shannon, go ahead and raise your hand. I don't want to bring you on here if you don't want to be on live, but I would ask you some questions at this point to see what are the things that you're looking at and maybe be able to help you zero in on which one. But the process that I go through when I'm trying to figure out what to focus on, if it's for a business purpose, then I ask myself a lot of questions about it. Like, is this a viable business idea? How does this compare to my other ideas that I'm thinking of for my business? Do I have an audience who's already interested in these things? Do I feel confident that there is an audience that's interested in this? Those kind of, like, I really put on my business strategist hat and look at my my various different options of what I could offer to the world, what I could focus my energies into, which is the one that is going to make the most return for my investment of time. When it comes to just general passions, often I've gotten to the point where I can just, it's really a gut thing. I mean, I think it is for all of us. It's a gut thing, but often it's hard for us to be in touch with that. So one useful way to do it is to literally, like, pick one at random. Say you have four things you're considering diving into, put them in a hat or put them on the wall and throw darts at them, or put them in a hat and draw one out. If you draw one and you say, oh, I was hoping I was going to draw the other one. Oh, you know something. That's really good data, right? If you pick one out of the hat and you're like, okay, that's fine. I'm going to go for that. Just pick one. It really doesn't matter if you're passionate about lots of them and you know that you can come back to other ones at any time. So that's how I do it. And as far as putting ideas into action, that is a matter of figuring out what it is that you want to accomplish. Ideally, you give yourself an actual timeline. I want to get a website up. When? If you just say, I want to get a website up someday, it's not likely to happen. But if you say, I want to get a website up by the end of July, you're already so much more likely to actually get that website up because you have a deadline. Then, if you build in some accountability around that, you tell somebody, a coach, your audience, if you have an audience, your friends or family, people in a particular Facebook group that you're in, if you let people know, I'm committing to get this website up by the end of July, that suddenly puts the heat up and you're much more likely to make it happen. And then the trick is to figure out what are all the little steps that you need to do in order to get that website up. And another thing to consider is when you say, I want to get a website up, that could mean lots of different things, right? So the more specific you can get about what that means to you, the more helpful it's going to be for you to figure out what are the various different things that you need to do in order to make that happen. Do you mean I want to get a website with 300 blog posts and a membership site and an active podcast and, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's one thing. Or I want to get a website that has an about page and a contact form. Boom. That's it. That's what I would call a minimum viable product. This is a Silicon Valley term. I live in the heart of Silicon Valley. Minimum viable product. What is the least that you can do that will enable you to say, I did that thing. Is it perfect? Hell no. But is it good enough? Yes. And is it going to be changed and improved over time? Oh yeah, you bet it will be. Particularly if it's a website. Websites are always works in progress. Always, 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 always works in progress. What is the minimum that you can do in order to get that thing done and be able to say, I did it? It is in its current iteration, it's complete. Anytime I take on a new project, I try to look at what is the minimum viable of this. I can always go more than that, but start with that minimum viable and you're like 5,000 times more likely to actually make it happen.
Did you catch that? Minimum viable product. That was the MVP that I mentioned at the beginning of today's show. That's it. That's a wrap. That's today's show. I'm really excited to bring you another show next week. If you have questions about living a creative life, go leave a review in iTunes and leave your question right in the review. I am prioritizing any question that gets left in a review gets bumped up to the top of the queue. So leave a review, leave your question. You can include your Twitter handle in there if you want me to tweet you out if I use your question on the show. And I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah!